you, choir. And good morning, everybody. I'm glad we're all here today after this big week after school, and it's a good way to end that week and begin another week. So I'm so glad you, each and every one of you, are here. We're going to begin our service by turning to hymn 323, Holy, Holy, Holy. Almighty, thank you so much for the power and the love that you give each and every one of us. Lord, we reach out to you with special blessings for this week, for all the school children and the teachers and the librarians and the parents that are getting back into the swing of things, into starting a new school year. And we just ask your blessings on the goodness to continue through our children and our schools. Lord, we thank you for each and every family here today. Let us open our hearts and our minds to your words and your leading, and let us feel you and let your light shine throughout this whole week. For in your name we pray, amen. Let's take a moment to look over the announcements. Does anybody have any announcements to add?
Just a couple. The first announcement is Whitney and I and Martha Jo and Hazel and John attended a engagement party last night. We were invited to a place in Gibsonville for Andy Ray and Holly Lamb. It was told to us that was a engagement party, and if you know Andy and Holly, they come and regularly participate in different events. And when we got there, we were trolleyed to a church, and it was a surprise wedding. So Andy and Holly are now Andy and Holly Ray. and they got married last night. So it was a wonderful time, a surprise wedding to most of everyone there, with the exception of just a few people. So it was a beautiful, beautiful wedding at a church in Gibsonville, and then we traveled to back to a place and had a reception afterwards. So it was a good surprise for everyone. So that's a wonderful announcement for them. Also, we want to make sure that you're aware that this week we have Friendly Worker Circle and choir practice. Sorry, my mind just went blank all of a sudden. Those are in the announcements as well. Sunday School Promotion Sunday is September the 15th. Christian Ed will be having that. That'll be a time for a continental breakfast before worship or before Sunday school at 9:45 in the Fellowship Hall. You can have meet your teachers, have a good time of fellowship with the kids, with the adults. That's all Sunday school classes are invited at 9:45 at the Fellowship Hall on the 15th. Any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward for our offering, please? Let's pray. Father God, what an awesome day you've given us. What an awesome week you've given us. As the children go back to school and you've blessed the teachers and the schools and the children, you've given them a safe week, Lord. And we just count the number of blessings, the endless blessings that you give us. And we're so thankful for those, and we praise you today. This worship service is a praise to you, that we can have a relationship with you. And we're so thankful that we can gather together as one body and lift each other up, place each other in the palm of your hand, that you will protect us and guide us. As we make these offerings today, we lift them to you, and we ask for your guidance and direction on how best to use them, how best to further your kingdom according to your will and guidance. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Good. Everybody all rested up from their big week back at school? But not quite. Okay. Well, luckily for us, we have another day tomorrow that we can rest before we go back to school. Fun. I went to the pool yesterday too.
Me too, Mark.
Yeah,
me too. In my hotel.
That is fantastic. All right, so I'm going to read a book today that I found a few weeks ago, and it's called Have You Filled a Bucket Today? And then we're going to talk about it at the end. Some of you may have read a book like this before at school. I have lots of friends who teach. I figured Landon had probably heard this book already, but come on, hear it again. All right. All day long, everyone in the whole wide world walks around carrying an invisible bucket. You can't see it, but it's there. You have a bucket, and each member of your family has a bucket. Your grandparents, friends, and neighbors all have buckets. Everyone carries an invisible bucket. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Your bucket has one purpose only. Its purpose is to hold your good thoughts and good feelings about yourself. You feel happy and good when your bucket is full, and you feel sad and lonely when your bucket is empty. Other people feel the same way too. They're happy when their buckets are full, and they're sad when their buckets are empty. It's great to have a full bucket, and this is how it works. Other people can fill your bucket and you can fill theirs. You can fill your own bucket too. So, how do you fill a bucket? You fill a bucket when you show love to someone, when you say or do something kind, or even when you give someone a smile. That's being a bucket filler. A bucket filler is a loving, caring person who says and does nice things to make others feel special. When you treat others with kindness and respect, you filled their bucket. But you can also dip into a bucket and take out some good feelings. You dip into a bucket when you make fun of someone, when you say or do mean things, or even when you ignore someone. That's bucket dipping. Bullying is bucket dipping. When you hurt others, you dip into their bucket, and you will dip into your own bucket too. Many people who dip have an empty bucket. They may think they can fill their own bucket by dipping into someone else's, but that will never work. You never fill your own bucket when you dip into someone else's. But guess what? When you fill someone's bucket, you fill your own bucket too. You feel good when you help others feel good. All day long, we are either filling up or dipping into each other's buckets by what we say and what we do. Try to fill a bucket and see what happens. You love your mom and dad. Why not tell them you love them? You can even tell them why. Your caring words will fill their buckets with joy. Watch for smiles to light up their faces. You will feel like smiling too. A smile is a good clue that you have filled a bucket. If you practice, you'll become a great bucket filler. Just remember that everyone carries an invisible bucket, and think of what you can say or do to fill it. Here are some ideas for you. You could smile and say hi to the bus driver. He has a bucket too. You can invite the new kid at school to play with you. You could write a thank you note to your teacher. You could tell your grandpa that you like spending time with him. There are many ways to fill a bucket. Bucket filling is fun and easy to do. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, it doesn't cost money, and it doesn't take much time. And remember, when you fill someone else's bucket, you fill your own bucket too. When you're a bucket filler, you make your home, your school, and your neighborhood better places for all. Bucket filling makes everyone feel good. So, why not decide to be a bucket filler today and every day? Just start each day by saying to yourself, I'm going to do something to fill someone's bucket today. And at the end of each day, ask yourself, did I fill a bucket today? Yes, I did. That's the life of a bucket. So, what are some ways that you can fill people's buckets around you? What do you think? Or maybe you filled somebody's bucket this week. How did you do that? Do you know? Did you say good morning to your teachers when you saw them in the morning? Yeah? Okay, well, Katie did, so that's good. Did you, Lathan, you did that too? Good. What about when you share toys during playtime for the younger ones? Yeah? What about, do you hold the door for people? There's a door holder, so they're filling your bucket and filling their bucket too. So there's a Bible verse in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So I want you to think about, as you go into this week and continuing the school year, that you are kind to each other, and when you wake up every morning, say to yourself, "How can I fill somebody's bucket today?" And at the end of the day, every night, maybe when you say your bedtime prayers, think about, "What did I do today to fill somebody's bucket?" Okay? All right, so let's have a prayer before y'all go upstairs. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for each of the children here this morning and the families they represent. And Lord, I just ask that you please help us to be kind to one another and help us to fill other people's buckets and be compassionate to other children. And Lord, I just ask that you please help us think about that as we go into this week at school and the rest of the school year. Lord, if it's your will, I ask that you bring everyone back safely next week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Who saw God this week? Ooh, that's what I'm talking about. Hands just keep getting raised every Sunday. More and more hands are raised. What a blessing that is, that everyone can start to see God in their day. Well, of course, Holly and Andy is a praise. Their wedding, their surprise wedding, is a very big praise for them, for their families, and for those who've been waiting a very long time for that to happen. I think they've been together 16 years? It's a long time. More than a decade. And so it's a Christian union right there. There's no doubt about that. Are there any other praises that we need to talk about this morning?
Yes, Tom. This friend of mine was thinking that he might have MS, so they went close last week, and he just got word that he was
going to. It was a very big blessing. That young man feared that he's being tested for MS due to some issues with his hands and feet, and he's in his maybe 30 years old, and they ruled that out, which was just some tendons and nerves and that sort of thing that he can recover from. So that's a big blessing. Any other blessings this morning? I'll update on some prayer requests. I spoke with Edith Ruth this past week, and she sounds really good. She says it hurts to move. She took a fall and had some cracked bones in her back and lower back, so she's dealing with that recovery. And they said it'd be about 6 to 8 weeks of just sitting. And she says it hurts to sit, it hurts to move, it hurts to breathe. She said, but she can tell she's starting to get a little bit better. So continue to pray for Edith Ruth. Also, I want to add Margaret Blake, which is Rhonda Kurtman's mother, to the prayer list. She's undergoing some health issues and will need extended prayer for those issues, and that we pray that she is healed and that God places his hand on her. Also have the unfortunate news of learning that Stephen Thomas, who we prayed for the past couple of weeks, has passed away due to cancer. So he passed away. I believe he was Cecil Thomas's son is how that was explained, and that's a friend of Stan and his family. Any other prayers? We definitely need to pray for the coast, the whole East Coast, with Dorian strengthening to a Category 5 and hitting 175-mile-an-hour winds this morning. We pray that God will just blow him back out east, away from the states. Anything else? Then let us pray. Father God, again, we come to you and all of you. We come that with recognition that you are awesome, that you are ever present, that you are all knowing, that you are all powerful. We know that you created life, you created this world, and you have a hand in everything that we do if we follow you. Lord, you've heard the praises, the wonderful union in your sight. You've heard the wonderful medical news, and you saw the hands who saw you this week. What an awesome praise that is. Lord, we thank you for those. We thank you for being in our lives and making yourself present to us. And we thank you that we can put ourselves aside and open our eyes to see you. But Lord, we come to you again in prayer. We come to you with needs. You know all the needs. You've heard all the prayer requests, and you know the ones that were not spoken. You know the needs around the world. Lord, protect us from the impending storm that's coming. We ask that you intervene, that you make it take a turn if it be your will, and that you let us see you through all of that, regardless of the outcome. Lord, again, we ask for protection and guidance over our young people as they continue into school, and that the lives are impacted, and that they can impact other lives, that they can bring a message of the cross to those around them. Lord, we just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Wonderful grace of Jesus. wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, mighty like a fountain, also nature's first dream and me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin is changing. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Well,
that's an amen right there.
Amen.
Well, for those who were on our one call now, I gave you some homework over the last 24 hours, and I asked you to read Genesis 1, the entire chapter, and chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go through the entire chapter, and then we're going to go to Genesis 2, 1 and 2. So Genesis chapter 1. Nothing better than the sound of Bible pages turning. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate from water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land and gathered the waters, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Well, God was busy that first week. He got a lot done. And so this is Moses' writing of the creation of the earth. Day one was night and day, and God saw it was good. Day two was the skies and the seas, and God saw it was good. And day three, land and vegetation, it was good. Day four, stars, sun, and moon, and it was good. Day five, fish and birds, and they were good. Day six, animals, man. And at the end of the day, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And day seven, he took a rest. From the very beginning of time, there's been work needed to be done. God started the world, started all the living things, including man, under this mission of work. I spent some time going through my day and looking at, after reading God's first, what we would call a week, 7 days, and this is what I came up with as my day. And when I read it, I was kind of not excited about it. Really ain't all that exciting of a day. But think about it in aspects of your day. So everyone has a morning routine. Get up, shower, shave, brush my teeth. Get dressed in a certain routine. I am a cop, so we have our own routines. You got to do pants, socks, boots, shirt, belt, and then equipment. You can't deviate from that order. You do, your whole day's messed up, I promise you. Those who have to put those on every day know exactly what I'm talking about. And then I go say goodbye to Whitney, and it usually ends in a mm. I don't really get any words from her, just sounds, because she's still usually asleep. Then I hit the cologne, hit the lotion for the dry hands, grab my phone, my wallet, my keys, my book bag, and I'm gone. Anything outside that order, and my whole day is shot. Now, during the day, I get to work. I get my unsweet tea, get in my office, I sign on. First thing is emails. Next thing is voicemails. Then I update my to-do list that I didn't get done from the day before. Then I look at my long-term projects. I never get them done. And then I work on the pop-ups, what I call the pop-ups. And that usually takes the next 7.5 hours of my day working on the pop-ups. And then my coming home routine. My coming home routine involves, in not a particular order, but involves calling Whitney, calling my dad, and calling my mom. Not in that particular order, just whoever answers the phone first gets the first phone call. And then I check the mail. I'll come down the driveway. I'll turn down the end of the cul-de-sac, come back around, because who wants to get out of their car to check the mail? So you drive to the end of the cul-de-sac, turn around, come back up so you can pull right up next to the mailbox. Hello. Work smarter, not harder. Then I come in, and I take my uniform off in the reverse order of what you heard me get ready in. What a routine. That's my day between 6:45 and about 5:30. But then here's where the turning point, it's where everything changes, is after I come home and get that routine done and over with. It's at this moment, you know, I put on my regular clothes, my comfortable clothes, and everything takes a drastic shift. Everything up to this point has been routine. I can tell you textbook, minute by minute, usually my day. But when I get home, that all goes out the window. Things become uncertain, and I don't like uncertainty. Two evenings this week, we spent at the football field supporting some of our young people, which was absolutely wonderful. There were two wins. Sorry, Southern Guilford. But there were two wins this week. Our one evening was spent at the hospital with a friend who had an injured child, and God showed himself there and protected that young person who took an injury during football practice. One evening was spent on the phone talking with another friend from work about the lack of seeing God. We get on these phone calls, and we'll spend an hour talking about church. And he doesn't even go to this church. And we just talk about church. We talk about different things in our day. One evening was spent with me falling asleep while listening to music and reading some devotionals and preparing for today. And then I did send some emails about church events and FCNC stuff and worked on my recording process homework and did some upcoming ceremonial things. Before I knew it, it was time to go to bed and start the routine all over again. Now, how many does that sound about like y'all? Y'all have your normal day, and then when you get home, everything just kind of goes, right? But we all have some sort of schedule, some sort of routine, and maybe even some evening chaos. Those who have to take kids to sports, children's games, maybe grandchildren, you have games and volleyball and football and cheerleading and dance and practices and after-school tutoring and homework, housework and getting dinner ready and trying to put something halfway healthy on the table instead of Easy Mac and hot dogs. And you just throw something together and you're trying to do it all. Maybe you have a job that puts you on call where you don't know. Minute to minute, the phone's going to ring and you have to leave for whatever reason. But I'm pretty sure if we sat down and looked at our schedules, we'd probably find out there's some similarities in at least the timing of them, but maybe not the events. We may not have the same jobs or the same errands, but we can all say that we're probably very busy. We have a lot of time for nothing. We have no time for nothing and a lot of time for everything else. But I also say there's some differences in comparing God's week that we just read, God's 7 days. There's a couple of differences I want to cover this morning in relation to ours. And it's something very small that maybe you haven't seen or haven't really paid much attention to in the creation story, because we know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we went through this whole thing, and a lot of people know that story. But there are two little things that I want to point out. So if you've got a pencil, once you write these in your Bible or underline them or write it down in your bulletin. But the first difference that you may not have noticed in the creation story and in our lives is simply the word reflection. Reflection. Reflection is the serious thought or consideration of something. Now look at the scripture of each day. If you go back to chapter 1 and you look at the scripture, what did God do at the end of each day? He saw that it was good. He reflected on what he had just created and saw that it was good. After his work for the particular day, he stopped and looked at what it was accomplished. It was an assessment of his day. And he saw that it was good. Now, sometimes we miss that in the creation story. We don't really think, okay, God saw it was good. Of course, God created everything that was good. Hello, he's God. But he assessed it to see that it was good. So let me ask you, at the end of our day, do we assess what we have done to see that it was good? I can tell you I don't. Most of the time, because I run out of time. I run completely out of time every day to where I can have some moments of just reflection and see what I did for the day. We stay so busy in our lives, but we always have to be stimulated each and every day. There has to be some kind of electronic device. There has to be some kind of sound or noise or Netflix or music. I even told you I listen to music and do some work. There has to be something going on. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" So even Paul says, test yourselves. Reflect, assess. Remember, I talked about Mary and Martha a while back, and how one was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach, and the other was running around the house like a chicken with her head cut off. Martha was too busy to stop and listen. Too busy to stop and reflect on what had happened and what was going to happen. We need to take time at the end of each of our days, at that moment, even if it's 5 minutes, and assess what we've actually accomplished. We need to examine ourselves, test ourselves to see that we realize Christ Jesus is in us and in everything that we do. Are the things that we do and we say, are they pleasing to the Master? Is it things that he would want us to do? Are we doing all we can to ensure that our faith has a place in each facet of our lives? Reflect. Have we set a time apart at the end of our day to say, have I seen God today? I think we're getting better at that. Have I shown the power of Christ in my life to someone else? Have I followed God's will for my day? Have I been an image of Christ to someone who may never have another chance to see Him? Reflection. Now, the answers may vary from yes to no to, I don't know, I got to find the time to stop. And that's a fair answer. But it's in the reflection, it's in that time of quiet, it's in that time of stillness, that time of consideration, where we listen for God to guide us in His will. It's in that halting of a moment that we can stop our worldly tasks, all that to-do list that we seem to never get done, and we focus on His to-do list for us. That stopping to assess ourselves should always involve communication with God. It's in that time where we can sit and be with the Lord, asking Him for guidance over our next tasks. Lord, have I done everything for You today that You would have willed me to do? And have I done it pleasing in Your eyes? If so, Lord, give me something else to do. Our work is not over. Reflect on what we've done. I remember a while back when I looked at the story of creation. It's been a few months ago. And I talked about how everything was built on each other in such a way that it would cause the earth to be sustainable. Well, reflecting, if you look at what God did, He reflected on His previous day's work to come up with the next creation. Because without the first thing, we would not have the second thing. Without the second thing, we wouldn't have the third thing. So are we reflecting? Maybe you've had a discussion with someone about your walk and your journey and your faith. Maybe that tomorrow will lead to a prayer of salvation with that person. I was at a hospital with this week, and one of our officers was injured. Had a lady come into the jail, and she was in the lobby. And she, for lack of a better term, went crazy. And she started assaulting our officers. And the officers were able to subdue her, and they got her in custody. And then shortly thereafter, he had a heart attack, almost moments after the fight was over. And he died in the back of the ambulance. For 4 minutes. He was shocked twice and one round of CPR, and he is awake and talking today. So we go to the hospital, and it's just my nature. I can't help it. I just walk over to the family, and I kind of go into preacher mode, I guess is the best way of doing it, best way of saying it. And I just say, hey, you know, I'm a pastor. I'd love to pray with you, you know, if it's okay. I'm real delicate in that because some people are comfortable with that. I say, you know, I'll be more happy to do anything for you. What can we do to lift you up? That sort of thing. And the family said, he's not spiritual, but we are. And I said, okay, well, explain spiritual, because that can go all kinds of different ways. And she says, well, the tarot cards said this was going to happen. I said, okay. And she said, and I believe God speaks to us through tarot cards and mediums. I said, okay. He said, so you don't need to pray, it's okay. And she went on. I said, well, do you understand the severity of what has happened to your family? And I said, he died for 4 minutes. And she said, he'll be fine. And I realized there was a task there. Because now I've got to go back on Monday, maybe Tuesday. I got a phone call yesterday where I've got to fill out this workers' comp paperwork for this guy. And it's got to be just me and him. You think God set me up for a discussion? Maybe with this guy to see where he's at spiritually? Good possibility. I feel led to have a discussion with him to say, hey, you know you died for 4 minutes. You know Jesus Christ? All he can do is tell me to leave. And I would, but I'm still going to pray for him. So you see, reflecting on what has happened can give you tasks on what's next. It's in our reflection where our eyes can be open to the next task at hand, because you work for the Lord until He tells you to stop. That leads me to my next and final point. If we make the effort to stop, and I mean come to a complete halt, really reflect on our day, ensuring that what we're doing is good in the eyes of the Lord, it's in that stopping and reflecting where we can find rest. Rest. We've got to rest. That's the second point. Reflection and rest. Now, if you look at the last part of Genesis 1 and the first part of Genesis 2, God saw all that he had made. It was very good. But what did he do after he reflected? He took a day. He took a day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and so on the seventh day, he rested. Now, when I originally read that, I thought, what? God rested? God doesn't rest. But if God rests after all he's done, don't you think it's okay if we did too? Now, I'm preaching to myself in this sermon. I'm going to tell you right now. I am looking in a mirror saying, I'm the pot calling the kettle black here because I don't rest. God made a conscious point to tell us that in creating everything, he still found time to rest. But what does that say about us? I mean, we're not making new worlds. We're not creating people, animals, and plants. We're just doing our worldly tasks. Now, how do we rest? Well, that's easier said than done. And that's something that I can't tell you how to rest. My resting may be different from yours. Yours may be going and sitting out in the yard, or hopping on the lawnmower, or sitting quietly, or listening to music, or sleeping. But either way, Jesus tells us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We rest when we stop worrying about what's next. We look at what we've done. We see that it is good. We ask God to give us our next mission. And we let him have it. We need to learn, and I mean really learn, that resting is a requirement, not an option. We can go and go and go and go to game after game, after dance, after school, after work, after everything, until we become exhausted. And then we're forced to rest. If you're really tired, how can you really give it all you can spiritually? It's a circle of Christian work. We spend our energy ensuring that the love of Christ is being shared through our lives. We reflect to make sure that what we've done is good. And then the rest renews us to our strength, so we can go back out and do it all over again. If one of those is removed from the circle, our purpose falls apart. If we use our energy but don't stop to reflect, it can lead to a breakdown in communication. And if we never stop long enough to rest, we can't do anything else. What good are we? We are like a car on the side of the road with no gas. It can't go anywhere. Reflection and rest are two very important aspects of not only what God did when he was creating the world, but that we have to do to continue his message through the world. We can miss out on so much if we're not consciously seeing God work around us. And we are no good to anyone if we're all worn out. So as we go into our quiet time, our open worship, let it start your decision to rest. Let it be a moment that you can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this moment. If it's a minute, if it's 2 minutes, if it's 5 minutes, however long open worship lasts. And I'm just going to let you teach me how to rest. Take this moment, reflect on what you've done. Reflect on what God wants you to do. Because he's calling each one of us, not just me, not just the elders, not just the choir. He's calling each one of us for a task or multiple tasks. We need to know where we've been, and there's your reflection. We need to know where we are headed, but we need the energy to get there. Reflection and rest in the name of Jesus.
Great Lake preacher. It's called "Are There Any Stars in My Crown?" And there was a song that they sang. It goes like this: "Is there any stars in my crown? When at the evening sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, am I today of that beautiful land? I shall reach when the sun goeth down, when through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand. Will there be any stars in my crown? Oh, what a joy it will be when his face I behold. Will there be any stars in my crown?" I enjoyed this movie. It was on Ted Turner Classic Movies. I enjoy older movies more than all this stuff that is, I don't know, I just think there's a lot of anti-Christian people writing a lot of these movies today. This really worries me, but I'm glad we have older movies that we can fall back on. I enjoy the children's minute this morning with Whitney. That was a wonderful story. Filling your bucket. I filled many buckets as a child. Instant milk for baby calves. In the morning, early. All crying. Charles David and I both carried water, feed, hay. And then as you get older, filling your bucket a different way. Inspiring others. Sharing a smile rather than walk around like this. I mean, it takes less muscles to smile than it does to pray. To show love, not just a handshake. Grandma taught me to hug. But I tell everybody ahead of time, some people are not ready for this. They're not ready for hugs. But hugs are so much more than handshakes. And then as you get even older, reflection. My Tommy just spoke about reflection. Say goodbye to friends. I've been saying goodbye to a lot of family. My daughter-in-law lost her mother last year. But over the years, I've learned to deal with this. Because I know they're in God's world. They're in a better place. It's hard sometimes to reflect. Diane left this world. David left this world. Daddy left this world. Mother
you, Tommy. Let us close our worship service today by standing and singing hymn 108, verses 1 and 3, Rock of Ages.
Thank you.